Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're taking you to 7:30 tonight, and there'll be LSU basketball. LSU playing Missouri tonight. Tip-off at 8 p.m. Pre-game at 7:30. But we got Kim Mulkey will come on with us in the 6 o'clock hour at 6:20.
We got the winning Fighting Tigers, and look at the big win against Tennessee. Now, Mike, you know what's going to be intriguing? When this comes about, is that do you know the meaningful game if you follow LSU women's basketball?
In South Carolina with the 12th, right?
Okay, Mike.
February 12th.
Now, think about this. Okay, when they play in Columbia against South Carolina, it's Super Bowl Sunday, I believe. I think it's the day of the Super Bowl. So, boy, Mike, now, we so into the pregame and all that kind of stuff. Why do you got to play the game that day?
You got two TVs, there, Bear.
Yeah, but I don't know. That's multitasking. I don't know. I wish they were, like, on a Saturday. But I was looking at, all of a sudden, the collision. They could be undefeated in Columbia, the LSU fighting Lady Tigers.
I think they play Georgia tomorrow night.
Yeah. So, but no, I think
so. We'll talk to Kim.
We got to take care of business. Yeah. But I'm intrigued if they both undefeated. That game is big as ever. They'd be undefeated against number one South Carolina. No, that would be a monumental upset if the Lady Tigers could beat South Carolina. But it's Super Bowl Sunday.
We're gonna go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Jimmy and Gretna. Jimmy, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Hey, y'all. Yeah, you know I'm a big college basketball fan. And look, the offer still stands. I got a beer for you tomorrow night at the UNO game, Bobby, all right? It's free. It's complimentary.
Hey, so wait. I got to tell you, Jimmy, I was going to go there on Saturday. Then my wife says, no, we gotta go to a wedding. No.
Well, hopefully there's no weddings. There's no weddings down the bayou tomorrow night, I hope.
No, I had
7 o'clock on a Thursday night.
I had to go to a wedding. My neighbor married Joey Helm's son. So Helm Paint.
Oh, man, Helm Paint. That's good, dude.
So I had to go.
Some good food at that one.
All right, Jimmy, you figured it out real quick.
Oh, yeah, we had the reception at the Civic. And I said,
Bobby brought his Tupperware. He was scooping up a couple of plates for home.
No, I wasn't that bad, but I ate twice. I did eat twice, but at the Civic, I said, man, the last time I was in this place, I saw Gino Vannelli. I started realizing.
Wow, a long time ago.
Yeah. It might have been a decade ago, like Gino Vannelli. That was always a chick concert. You know, if you're on a date and you take her out there and you wanted to impress
especially
her.
Especially if it was like 80s.
I was like, yeah, Gino Vannelli. So, yeah.
Two things that I'm going to hang up and listen. Number one, LSU basketball is down. I know Tulane basketball is playing tonight on ESPN. They're hosting a team that got stuck in the ice storm in Dallas, SMU. I'm not sure if they're going to make the game on time. I think they're taking a bus to the game. It's a pretty crazy story. But I also wanted to ask Mike specifically, who should we look out for? Who's your diamond in the rough?
I'll tell you right now, Cody Mark. Cody Mark from North Dakota State. I've talked about him before. He's played tackle. He could play inside. He's not just a good player. He's a really good player. You talk about a mauler, a really good athlete. He's a former tight end in high school.
So, Mike, is he like a Trevor Penning? You say a mauler. But when I hear a mauler, I think Trevor Penning.
Well, he's not as big, but he's a little bit more athletic than Trevor is.
So he would make it as a tight end?
Well, he's gotten a little bit too big for tight end.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's over 300 pounds right now, and so he isn't playing tight end.
So maybe he has better footwork, pass protecting maybe than Trevor.
I think he does. Okay. He's not as good a run blocker, but Cody Mauch, and I think you're going to hear a lot about that, Cody Mauch, as we get closer to the Senior Bowl, because of his ability that he could play tackle, play guard. Man, he's a really good athlete, can use his arms and hands real well. And I've got him 30th on my list, which is that's really technically he doesn't grade as a first-round pick. But if you look at 30, there's only 31 first-round picks. I think he could end up literally going in round one because sometimes the numerical rating doesn't quite match what the needs of some of those teams are. But Cody Mauch is a guy to keep in mind. And I also think for a lot of people who didn't know, and he's not a hidden gem, but I think Tajay Spears every day is getting that little creep up the board. And I had him ranked as a second-round pick, and people were, oh, yeah, it's a homer because he's from Tulane. No, take a look at what that guy can do.
Mike,
I'm telling you.
That's not being a homer. You know, I always say, because I go old school like Jim Brown, O.J. Simpson days and all, I don't know, if you played 14 games, can you get 100 yards a game? If you play 16 games, can you get 100 yards a game? If you're playing 17 games, can you rush for 1,700 yards? Or look, even as a receiver, are you averaging 100-yard receiver? Not 60 or 70. Then, to me, that's a monumental accomplishment to stop you, whether they're stopping you from running or catching the football. And Tajay Spears, Mike, he had 1,581 yards rushing. Okay, did they play 15 games? No, right? 1,581 yards rushing, 19 touchdowns, and then against USC in the Cotton Bowl on the big stage, he had 201 yards rushing and 4 touchdowns against USC. So I'm like, Mike, the only thing now, it seems like we've shied away, even though a great player like Deuce McAllister, Or you look at even like Mark Ingram, where he was drafted, like, okay, you're in the first round, late first round.
Bijan Robinson to do more at Texas than what he did.
Right.
And he's probably not even going to be a top 20 pick.
So, Mike,
he's going to get picked somewhere in the 20s or maybe 30.
So, Mike, he's possibly right now.
He's the only guy.
Only first round running back, right?
He's the only one. Like Jahmyr Gibbs will probably go in round two. I'm a big fan of Devin Achane from A&M, along with Tajay.
I always love saying this. Always loving saying this because not two chains, but a chain. No, how he ran against LSU. Mike, I thought he might opt out that game, and I wish he would have opted out because how he ran against LSU in that particular game.
Yeah, no, he's pieced together. He's a short little squatty runner. Man, he's powerful, and you don't think he's fast until you're trying to catch him. He's got another gear in space.
Well, Mike, okay, think about this. Look how the Eagles and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Do they have first-round running backs? Pacheco,
he was a seventh-round pick.
Okay.
That first-round pick has not played yet.
Okay, Pacheco. That's
Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah, because, my high ankle sprain. I don't know. He was hurt in late November. Now, will he contribute in the Super Bowl? I don't know. But Pacheco, look how he's contributed. Okay, where was Miles Sanders drafted? I think.
It was no first or second round pick.
That's what I'm saying. Okay,
Boston Scott was a sixth round pick of the Saints.
That's why that works against Tajay Spears, simply because this day
it's
and age.
It's the devaluation of the running back position.
Yes, the running back position.
So that's why the Saints were able to grab Alvin Kamara. I have a lot of people, they send it to me every year. I had Kamara going with the first pick in round two. So we doing the draft deal, and I got the yellow marker, and I'm marking it out. And I accidentally marked out Alvin Kamara, and Deuce was, Mike, you sure he was picked? And I was like, man, thinking about it, we had to go back, and then it was said, no, he's still there. And I don't think we had said it. It was like 5 minutes later, the Saints are up on the board. They had made the trade.
Well, the two stud running backs the Saints have caught on since, let's say, the Sean Payton era. Reggie Bush and Deuce McAllister, but Deuce was even before Sean Payton, but Holly contributed. Okay, but then you look at Pierre Thomas. Okay, Mike, he wasn't even freaking drafted. Okay, now, where did the Chargers draft Darren Sproles? He wasn't no number one pick.
He was a later round pick.
I want to say like third or fourth round pick. And look at Darren Sproles.
It was not an early pick. And man, listen, Darren was a really – if he was 5'11", he'd have never lasted that long.
Now, you know who was a stud? And I tell you what, and he showed it in the NFC Championship game. I'm telling you what, he's a bad white boy, Christian McCaffrey.
Now, yes, he was drafted. He was a top 10
pick.
Now,
the only thing you can maybe say, well, I wish he was more healthy. But can you imagine yourself trying to be healthy when you're getting the crap knocked out of you all the time? So Christian McCaffrey, he's not soft. He's just your body breaks up. You're a human. Christian McCaffrey's unbelievable to me.
And he's the smallest of the McCaffreys. You think about dad, brother, and all. He's the smallest build of all of them. We'll be back.
Pound for pound, he might be the baddest one.
Yeah, he's the best one. Put it to you, that most talented. We'll be back with more sports talk and Jeff Nowak at the Senior Bowl giving us some breakdowns of the prospects right after this break on the Big 870.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text line. Jeff Nowak, who's covering the Senior Bowl at Mobile. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us. And, Jeff, a couple of the bigger linemen getting some notice, certainly DeJuan Jones from Ohio State. Yep. Everybody talked about Paris Johnson, and Paris is a good player, and he may end up being the first offensive lineman selected. But I think Mr. Jones has made him some money this week in practice early on for what he's done. And the other guy I think is going to be a really good player, and that's Cody Mauch from North Dakota State.
Yeah, I mean, DeJuan, you know, you talk about big, and you talk about, like,
no,
like
he's big
offensive or lineman, and, I mean, he just puts it at a whole nother level. I mean, I'm pretty sure he has the largest wingspan of any lineman that's ever been at the Senior Bowl. He has a larger wingspan than Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like, think about that. He's 6'8", and he just, like, my only question with him is his feet. When you're that big, can you be mobile enough? But yeah, he's a guy who I think is going to be playing on Sundays for a while.
My thing with him, Jeff, is can he bend his knees? Because he's a bit of a waist bender, and I would like to see him. And when you're that big, it's difficult, to because low man's going to win there. But how well he can bend his knees, and I've seen a couple of film of him working out. He showed better knee bend in Mobile than I've seen him at Ohio State, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and whenever you're that big and you have that much of a physical advantage in college, you have to wonder how that's going to project when you're trying to deal with, you know, elite athletes at every position.
Yeah.
But he held up well the last 2 days in practice, so that's a good sign for him, I think.
Now, Jeff, what about, obviously we're going to talk about the LSU and the Tulane. They each had two representatives there. But what about other Louisiana ties? Have you noticed anything Nebraska receiver Trey Palmer from Kentwood High School. You know, he's at LSU, then he goes to Nebraska. How about TCU receiver Darius Davis, West Feliciana High School? Looking at that, and then...
I know one thing, Bob. Both those dudes can run. And, I mean, flat-out run.
How about this guy? Or both of y'all can chime in, Jeff, or whatever. And then Dontavian Wicks, Plaquemine High School. Mm-hmm. He was at Virginia. And then, obviously, this is Charlie's favorite because he was at UL. Florida offensive lineman Osiris Torrance from St. Helena Central.
Yeah, I told Jeff the story about... I got into a little discussion with somebody from LSU, an assistant coach, about Osiris when he was at St. Helena. And LSU didn't recruit him. They went after bigger game. And, man, Torrance has could potentially end up being a first-round pick.
Well,
potentially.
Yeah, he's at the Senior Bowl, and he goes from UL, and he follows the coach. And
follows
he goes,
Billy Napier to Florida.
And he goes to Florida.
Yeah, I got a good look at Osiris today. He very much looks like a first-round pick. And you can usually identify him when they're doing these kind of drills in the end zone, and it's just one-on-one. And he would not be moved. Like, he was just stoning just one rep after another after another. And, you know, you can just see the strength advantage that he has. Dontavian Wicks, I didn't see much of him today, but he definitely popped yesterday. He was just unguardable. Trey, I think he had a better practice on Tuesday than he did today. I saw him drop a couple balls. And that is something that you have to worry about with Trey. That was always something that held him back at LSU was the hands. But
as you mentioned,
the speed is always going to pop. One guy who really, I thought, shined today was Dorian Williams. And the more you watch him, the Tulane linebacker.
He's good, Jeff.
The question marks disappear, right? You're talking 6'2". You're talking legit speed. You know, they flash up all of these kind of next-gen stats. I think Zebra is doing the player tracking, and they break them down by position, and they lump the linebackers and tight ends together. And he put up the fastest speed of any of that group by about half a mile per hour. I think he was up near 20 miles per hour they tracked him at. And when I talked to him, I asked him, like, how important do you think that speed is to your game? And, you know, in basically every team interview he's had thus far, that's been something that's been brought up, is his speed is elite, even among, you know, the top-end prospects in this draft. So he's a guy that I think the more teams get to look at him, the more they'll fall in love with him, and he'll just shoot up the board.
And I think he's a top 100 pick now. I really do, because I think he can play inside if you need to. He can play out on the edge, and he's a three-down player. He's gotten better in reverse. And that always, I think, is a little bit for linebackers today. You got to kind of learn how to do it. And I think once he gets it down, he's going to be really good. And I don't have to take him off the field. And, man, can he run east and west with his speed.
Yep.
Now, go ahead, Jeff.
The other local, obviously, Tyjae Spears, I mean, he's elite too. Like, he's going to be a guy that you're going to have a hard time getting to in the draft because I think he's just going to keep climbing. He just always seems to be in the end zone, right? Like, they have, like, total distance traveled, right, is a stat they've been tracking. The top five names, it's four wide receivers in that Tyjae, which it makes sense. It's a wide receiver. They're running down the field. Running backs typically won't be going all the way down the field, but he is. The other two, Evan Hull and Chase Brown, Northwestern and Illinois, those are the three top running backs, in my opinion, that have been out there this week, and they've all been really, really impressive.
Now, Jeff, I've never been to the Senior Bowl, but it just seems like, and you're experiencing it now, so I want some feedback from you. Outside the NFL Combine, do you think this is the closest thing to, like, an NFL job fair? I mean, like, when you see how people mingle, maybe at a restaurant, a bar, or at the practice, at a hotel, what have you observed from that? Is it like the who's who? Oh, that's so-and-so. Who you cross paths with?
Well, it's funny because, you know, I think you're talking from a player perspective, but when you're talking about a job fair, it almost feels like it's more that way from a coach perspective, particularly now that they're kind of amalgamating the staffs from across the NFL. Obviously, Ronald Curry had an interview for the Bucs offensive coordinator vacancy, and that happened in Mobile, right? All of these representatives are there, and so that's where that interview took place.
Okay.
You know, and the Saints have three assistants that are there. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that is a big part of this, is you are mingling with other representatives from around the league. And, you know, one thing that Jim Nagy, who's the director of the Senior Bowl, he made sure to tweet before the event even took place was like, okay, all 125 players are going to be meeting with all 32 teams. We don't need to be spam tweeting, oh, this player met with this team. They're all meeting with everybody. And, you know, I think that is relevant because, you know, we talked to Jeff Ireland today, and he mentioned, you know, they're going to be meeting with Tajay Spears in the morning. They're a big fan of his. You know, that could be an interview, you know, if you have your fingers crossed and good vibes for that interview to go well, because these are opportunities for teams to really just kind of get under the hood with these players. You can watch all the film in the world. You don't necessarily know how this player learns, how this player is progressing, how they understand the concepts that they're running until you get to sit in the room with them, especially with the advantage the Saints have of having four coaches on the field who are able to sit in meetings and install with these players that they haven't been able to. So, yeah, I think it is very much like an NFL job fair, if you will.
Now, Jeff, obviously everyone's always intrigued with the quarterbacks. And, you know, you could come and do interviews but not actually working out. But who have you been impressed with out there? It's like TCU, for instance, Max Dung. Is he throwing out there Jake Haner from Fresno State? I'm looking at Louisville's Malik Cunningham, BYU's Jaren Hall. I'm looking at Houston's Clayton Tune. Man, listen, my brother.
You got to go find Tune.
Oh, you got to go find Clayton Tune, Jeff, because all of a sudden my brother's in the freezing cold with his daughter, my niece. And I go, well, what are y'all doing at the Independence Bowl? It's freezing out there. Oh, well, Shannon, we call her newbie, she was dating or going out with Clayton Tune. So I said, I'm kind of intrigued. Clayton Tune, the Houston quarterback, what he's done. Or even, now think about this. Mike, I don't even know what this is. Jeff, you might know.
Mm-hmm.
Shepherd University, Tyson Bajent or Badgett?
Bajent, yeah.
Tyson Bajent.
Where is that even at? I'm like, I've never heard of Shepherd University. I don't even know what state that is even in. But all I know, he's at the Senior Bowl. He must be pretty good.
No, one thing I can tell you, it's in West Virginia.
Okay.
I think it's in Sheeperstown.
Sheeperd, okay.
Sheeperstown, West Virginia.
It's S-H-E-P-H-E-R-D. Shepherd, Sheeperd, I don't know.
And then town.
Shepherdstown.
Okay, Shepherdstown, yeah. But, yeah, he's
is he big,
good,
Mike? Is he big?
No. One thing with Jim Nagy, he studied a lot of tape on him. And really liked him, and he thought listen, they're not just handing out invitations
right, just
to hand it out.
Exactly.
And he put up some pretty good numbers.
So
he was impressive.
Is it like Division II, NAIA, Division III? I mean, is this like Mount Union or something?
I think the enrollment there is less than 3,200 people.
Yeah, so it's like a big high school.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So, Jeff, what about all the quarterbacks I just named? Has anyone stood out?
No, he wants to know about Tune. Tell him about Clayton.
No, if he's worked out, I don't know.
So what I will say for Clayton is he probably has been the most consistent of the quarterbacks out there. Now, what I will tell you is this is not a banner year for quarterbacks at the Senior Bowl.
No, it's not.
This is the first year in 7 years that they haven't had a first-round projected quarterback. Last year, obviously, it was Kenny Pickett. You know, Daniel Jones has been at the Senior Bowl. You know, they'll usually have at least one quarterback.
They thought they had Will Levis to come in.
Will Levis says, I don't have to play
in
it, right?
He doesn't have to. Yeah. He's going to be a first-round pick.
He's dealing with an injury, too.
Yeah.
The thing with quarterbacks, and Jeff Ireland kind of talked about this, is you'll fall in love with quarterbacks really quickly, and you'll fall out of love with them really quickly, right? Like last year, I think everyone tried to convince themselves that the class at the Senior Bowl was much better than it was because that was the peak of the class. You had Malik Willis, you had Desmond Ridder, but in reality, the quarterback class was kind of weak from top to bottom. This year, you have four or five quarterbacks who are going to go in the top 10, and the guys you have here are the mid-round projects that, you know, a lot of these guys' ceilings is probably backup quarterback, right? Maybe Jaren Hall can kind of get out of that, but
and he don't impress me a lot either. I'll be honest. Yeah. He's so inconsistent throwing the football, and he's not a real big guy. The system there certainly helped him.
So
at
he
BYU.
Might be another poor man, Zach Wilson.
Well, I don't know if he ain't that gifted talent wise. Because Zach's talent, Zach. The question is not talent; is between the ears. Does he want to play football? More than anything, I think Darren wants to play football. He just doesn't have Zach's talent.
Yeah, and I will say, you know, there weren't a lot of moments in these practices where you kind of saw a throw and you're like, oh, man, look at that throw. You know, who was that? And it's been, I would say very average performances from the quarterbacks in general. You know, that could improve throughout the week. It's not really fair to judge the quarterback's performance in two practices with guys they've never played with before. You know, for example, Max Duggan, some of the best throws he made were to his teammate. I'm blanking on his name, Darius.
Darius Davis, yeah.
And, like, so, yeah, as the week goes on, these guys will probably look a little sharper. But, you know, it's just a very low-ceiling class. But there are really intriguing prospects at running back, really intriguing prospects at wide receiver, right? Kid from Michigan State,
right?
Jaden Reed has really stood out to me. Nathaniel Dell out of Houston has really stood out to me. So, like, while the quarterbacks are always the names you kind of go to first, I think that the meat of this Senior Bowl is at some of the other skill positions.
What about Davis Allen, the tight end from Clemson? I like him a lot. He's sort of built old school wise as a tight end, and he's not going to be one of the top six.
Is he big, Mike?
He's a big guy for the tight end spot, and he would like rank seventh on my list of tight ends. He catches the ball smooth. He's not a super great athlete, but man, he catches everything, and he's just more than a getting away blocker. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah, so the player, and I don't like doing player comps, but I only do this because it really does seem to fit for me. The guy I comp him to is Nick Vannett, which isn't going to, you know, make anyone jump out of their seat.
Ohio State, yeah.
Nick Vannett has been a very consistent NFL player for a long time, and that's kind of what I see with Davis. He's probably the most pro-ready blocker of this entire tight end class. Like, a guy like Luke Musgrave is going to be a lot more exciting, probably going to go earlier in the draft, but you have to figure out whether he can be an NFL blocker before you can even put him on the field. Otherwise, you end up with Brock Purdy breaking his tearing his UCL because you can't block Hassan Reddick. Right?
You better put him out wide early on.
Now,
right, of all these tight end prospects at the Senior Bowl, I could see Davis Allen getting on the field first, right? He might not have the upside of some of these other guys, but I think his all-around game is really intriguing for, you know, if you're looking in the mid rounds, you're just trying to find a quality blocking tight end. I think he's that guy.
Now, Jeff, you mentioned Jeff Ireland a couple of times, and obviously this is in his wheelhouse. And you look at the Saints, and I'll be interested to see the last, I don't know, a handful of years, half a dozen years, you can go even a decade or a decade plus since Jeff Ireland's been on board, and the mindset that they have with Mickey Loomis and all. Because I look at last year, the Saints used three of their five draft selections on players who participated in the Senior Bowl. Again, you look Trevor Penning. Now, I think that was a great find in Alante Taylor. You look at DeMarco Jackson from Air Force, ended up being like a practice squad guy. And then they even signed undrafted free agent from Baylor, Abram Smith, the running back. So the Senior Bowl has been important to the Saints. What's your take when you talk to Jeff Ireland going forward and their involvement that when they're drafting players, that they count on the Senior Bowl and that evaluation a lot?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go back even a little bit further, Marcus Davenport was the first-round pick, was the Senior Bowl guy. Peyton Turner was the Senior Bowl guy. Adam Troutman was the Senior Bowl guy. There's a lot of them. So I think what Mickey said after the last draft when I asked him is pretty telling, and it's not necessarily a box that they're checking. Okay, this guy was at the Senior Bowl, we like that. It's more that, like, the more you are exposed to players and the more you understand them, right, and you feel like you are comfortable with their progression, how they learn, that sort of thing, you know, you like the player more. You feel more comfortable. That's part of the reason that the 2020 draft was such a dart throw, because you didn't get those opportunities. And I think that's when you go back to it and you ask, okay, why do the Saints have four assistants at this Senior Bowl? Why are they tied for the most with Washington, right? It's because they understand the value of that. I talked to Declan Doyle, who was coaching the tight ends. I talked to DJ Williams, who was coaching the quarterbacks. Talked to Ronald Curry and Jeff Ireland. And each of them, to a point, was talking about how big of an advantage it is for them to be able to, instead of having, you know, a 15-minute interview, be able to spend an entire week with position groups and kind of sit down and install and see how these players learn.
Right.
And that's, you know, at the end of the day, when you're drafting, everyone wants to find that kind of diamond in the rough, but you don't win Super Bowls based on those kind of lucky finds. You win Super Bowls based on, okay, we know what this guy is and we can project it and we draft him and he's a really good player for a long time. Those are the players that win you Super Bowls. And those are the players that help you build a very high quality roster top to bottom. And so that's what these scouting events are a big value for when it comes to the Saints.
Jeff, thanks so much for joining us. Ian Rappaport is reporting that the Saints have parted ways with co-defensive coordinator, secondary coach Chris Richard. That's something Tom Pelissero and also Ian Rappaport are reporting.
So they parted ways, so where is he going?
So Chris might have another job somewhere else. And
Carolina he interviewed with?
Or? Yeah, also I think he talked to Miami. Okay. And so that's a situation where apparently they are going to bring in one guy that's going to be the coordinator.
But yeah, but like Vic
Fangio. So now you got two position openings.
But why would he go to Miami? Vic Fangio is the D coordinator there, right? I mean,
That was before Vic. Technically,
could be following Sean to Denver.
I mean, it could well be.
That's what I was going to say. Well, the bottom line is, you know, when you have a title, Doug Marrone had this a long time. Oh, I'm the offensive coordinator, but Sean Payton's calling the damn plays.
Yeah, calling plays?
Okay, think about it. Last year, we had co-defensive coordinators. Who was calling the defense?
It was Dennis Allen.
Yeah. So a lot of times it's the title, man. That if you're a coach and have confidence and you're going forward, you want to be in control. So it doesn't surprise me. Ryan Nielsen is going to Atlanta, and Chris Richard's leaving.
We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, and we spoke about it with Jeff Nowak, but the Saints have parted ways with co-defensive coordinator and secondary coach Chris Richard. And, Tom Pelissero and Ian Rappaport are reporting it, and so they lost Ryan Nielsen to Atlanta last week, and now Chris Richard is leaving the Saints. They've parted ways, and he'll be elsewhere. So now the Saints have openings, defensive line coach, secondary coach, and whatever coordinator position. We all know Dennis Allen was making the calls and said he would not give up the play calling duties on the defensive side of football. Bob?
Well, that's why I would not be surprised if I think with Chris Richard, and I'm glad he don't say Richard. He says Chris Richard, coming to his Louisiana roots, he has big aspirations to be amongst the best. When you look when he was at Seattle and the Legion, he was a big part of the Legion of, what they call it? Doom,
Legion of Boom.
Yeah. He was a big part of that. Then he's with Dallas and all that. So all I know is he was a big part of the Saints' defense. And what we did in the secondary, considering all the injuries, I got to find this in my notes because it's outstanding what Chris Richard did on the back end with Alante Taylor.
And look how much time Marshawn missed this year with injuries. Missed a ton of time. And the safety play, man. I mean, and before, did Marcus May and Tyron play, what, a handful of games together? Because it was one way or another. You didn't, you know,
they didn't even start this season. It's like we never had all hands on deck, and we still were top three secondary. Well, Mike, we were any time in this day and age, we giving up like 190 yards a game, under 200 yards passing. Oh, that's at a very high level. And without CD Dues, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and all that.
And he was a big loss. A big loss for that
team. And then Paulson and Debo didn't play as well as he did the year before. You know who did?
He made all airline drive.
Yes, he was outstanding.
He was terrific in training camp.
Outstanding in August. And then, but Alante Taylor took that
he
next
got some,
step.
He's skilled.
And then you look at Lattimore. But it all goes hand in hand. We got more pressure on the quarterback on the back end of the season. But, Mike, I'm going to
But early on, it was a disappointment.
Yeah, I'm going to find him.
Stopping
notes,
the run and also getting the pressure.
I'm a Chris Richard fan, and I would not be surprised if all of a sudden – because, listen, you could have the title, like I said before this break before this. Like Doug Marrone at one time was offensive coordinator. Well, he's offensive coordinator. Sean's calling the plays. The same thing this year. We had co-defensive coordinators, Ryan Nielsen and Chris Richard. Who's calling the defense?
Dennis Allen.
So Dennis Allen's going to get the credit on the back end, how we produce at a very high level. So these young up-and-coming guys like Ryan Nielsen, I want to move up with my career. So that's why he goes to Atlanta. I would not be surprised if Chris Richard does not go with Sean Payton and is the Denver Broncos defensive coordinator. And they have a lot of more type cornerback than Patrick Surtain.
Patrick Surtain is really, he's super talented. He's Bob, the other thing I want to bring out, too, we've had a couple of people. When I said about name me a coach today that's won two Super Bowls, Mike Tomlin did. No, Mike Tomlin went to two. He won one, just like Pete Carroll. He won in 08. 2 years later, he lost to the Packers. I think there's confusion because Cowher started the year before.
Right.
He's the one, and it's in that time frame, but Mike Tomlin's only won one. He's been to two, but only won one. So we'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870. We're finishing up here in hour number two of sports talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Bob, I'm going to ask Paul to hold on till after the 6 o'clock news, and we'll come right to you, Paul. Bob, you got some statisticals there.
No, and look, and this is not an opinion. This would happen. I think this would Chris Richard – brings to the table, and this is what Ryan Nielsen brings to the table. Okay, looking at the Saints, now, we all know Dennis Allen's calling the defense, but the Saints finish this season ranked second in pass defense. Mike, even better than I can recall, this is unbelievable. They allow just 184 yards passing per game. Mike, this day and age, I'm telling you, when I was playing, like, if you held a team under, like, if you held, like, 210, 215, you were considered that's an elite pass defense. When we held our opponents to 184 yards passing a game, we didn't allow more than 20 points in the final eight games. So we should have been a playoff team. Woulda, coulda, shoulda, and all that. Now, looking at Ryan Nielsen, the defensive line, now, you got to give Dennis Allen because the stunts we did to Mario Davis and all getting sacks. But a lot of fans don't realize this. You might say, oh, we don't get enough pressure on the quarterback. Mike, I think I did this on a post game, whatever. But since 2017, so that's basically half a dozen years or a handful of years. Since 2017, the Saints have recorded the second most sacks in the NFL with 281. Only the Steelers have more at 300 plus, own more in that time. New Orleans has totaled 45 or more sacks in each of the last four seasons. So, Mike, it might be inconsistent, but overall, we are getting after the opposing quarterback. I'm not saying we're the Eagles setting records, but the Eagles got 70 sacks.
Well, the Eagles were that good throughout the years. How come they ain't on that list?
They ain't on that
list. They did it 1 year, and I give them credit. Man,
we've done this five or six years, and you want to be high 40s or low
50s. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.